I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Legacies. This is Season 2, Episode 11, What Cupid Problem? I'm your host, Haley Graves, and joining me is Miss Shiksha Mittani, the absolute queen of AfterBuzz TV. Hey, Shiksha.
What's up?
Legacies.
We are here, my peeps. We're very, very close to Valentine's Day. And with that being said, this episode is going to be all about love because, let's be honest, that's what this whole thing consisted of. We're going to talk a lot about our Cupid problem with basically is evil Cupid, a.k.a. Pothos, we learn. We're going to talk about this awkward love triangle that formed this episode, and then we're going to dive into a little bit of the prophecy because they keep giving us way too many breadcrumbs for us to not talk about that. Then we'll move on to some news and gossip from Shiksha. Then we'll move on to The Merge, which is our special segment. So if you're watching it with us on YouTube or if you're watching later on, make sure you let us know your favorite duo and your least favorite duo from this episode in honor of the Ascendant, The Merge, that's inevitable coming. And lastly, we'll get to some predictions. So with that, Shiksha, let me have it. What'd you think of the episode?
I loved it. This show is so good because even when it's a filler episode, which this was,
absolutely.
Let's be honest,
absolutely.
Guys. But it was still so entertaining and so good. I was rolling my eyes a couple times throughout the episode, but I still was, it was not like in a bad way. It was just in a, I love this show so much, they can do whatever they want, and I love it. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree. This episode, you could tell, was very, very lighthearted, which was kind of something that we needed from the way it was written to the way it was executed. There was little things in there that gave us a lot of comic relief, which I appreciated, and especially because there's some other heavy topics happening right now within the show. And ultimately, I loved it because you can tell these actors and actresses just genuinely have fun on set and have fun with each other. And it definitely shows in an episode like this.
Yes, it really does. But I did miss, you know, the Salvatore.
Yeah.
Basically, Alaric and the twins.
The Saltzmans.
The Saltzmans. Sorry, guys.
Too many S's.
Yeah, the Saltzmans. Yeah. I really did miss them this episode.
I did. Especially, like, Lizzie has started to really come on strong.
She's my favorite. Yeah,
and her just witty banter that she brings every episode, I did miss it as well. So, to kick things off, we're going to just talk about our monster. In the beginning of the episode, we are reintroduced to the Necromancer and Chad. Last week, we didn't see any of them, so we dialed back in to see what those two have been up to, and they basically allude to the fact that the Malivore Pit he recreates is bubbling, and they essentially foreshadowed that monsters are continuing to come out of Malivore, and then we see the shot of Cupid flying over Landon, who is trying to fly. And so
that was awesome.
So that's how we kind of really get our first intro. I really like how they picked up from the last episode, because last episode we saw Wade and Landon being this awesome duo. We said it was our favorite in the Merge special segment. And so we see them continuing to work together. And even Landon, I was like, oh, how sad. He makes a comment saying, Wade, I need someone to believe in me. And I was just like, or he said something like that. And I was like, oh, that's really sad. He thinks no one believes in him.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then Cupid flies over. And that's how we know that that's going to be our monster. So what were your thoughts initially about Cupid being the monster? Because for me, I didn't really think that, like, I was like, how can Cupid be a monster?
Right. Well, I just, that's what I, you know what, props to the writers of this show, because they'll take the simplest things and make them so different, you know, things that are overdone.
Complex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they even did it with Santa Claus, you know, they made it such a different character with Krampus and, and all that. So now to do it with Cupid as well, they just have a different take on it. And, you know, you see so many different shows do your Christmas episode, Valentine's episode, Halloween, etc. But they just do it so different and uniquely. I love it.
Yeah,
so, yeah, when they said that Cupid was the monster, I was like, oh, this is exciting. What are they going to do? Because it's not going to be any normal Cupid.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And I was, I mean, obviously we were right about that because it was not.
Yeah. We don't actually find out, like, the Cupid is checking all the boxes, dotting all his I's. You know, he's going through both the town and he gets to the school and he's hitting people with arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And two of the people that he ends up hitting first are Dorian and Emma.
Oh, my God.
Before
yeah.
we get to it, because we will, they were the main ones bringing up the prophecy.
Uh-huh.
But before we get to that, yeah, we see them. They get struck.
Mm-hmm.
And then soon after is when Landon finds Cupid, or desperately attacks Cupid in the woods.
Yeah.
And I thought one of my favorite points of this episode was just a reconfirmation of Hope being a badass, because she just snatches that arrow.
Yes.
And I was like, woo!
That was an amazing moment.
Yeah, I was like, she can do it all.
Yeah.
And then from there, Cupid is now in the school. We see mm-hmm. him continuing to kind of wreak havoc. He's being held up by Landon. And Hope then decides to take one of his arrows and put it to her own use. Because I will mm-hmm. say, the one thing that I thought was really creative was that each one of Cupid's arrows symbolized or had a different effect on a different person.
Right.
And yes. so the fact that we soon learn that Hope took the obsession arrow
mm-hmm.
and stabbed Alyssa, who is not being very helpful. What did you
Alyssa.
Think? Yeah, what did you think of Alyssa when she's just down there just being Alyssa Chang
being Alyssa.
In the jail?
Actually, real quick, we have Charmed Originals mm-hmm. Correcting us, saying it was Cupid's sibling that was the monster. So it wasn't Cupid.
Well, yeah. No, we know that. Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet. Yeah.
We'll talk about that. But Alyssa, what can I say about that girl? She's complex, and I think right now we're just supposed to hate her and not, you know, but I hope that that's not the case. I hope that they redeem her character a little bit because, I don't know, she's an interesting character.
Yeah.
Imagine her with Caleb, because they started to hint at that.
I know.
At the end, like, and it's right, I know we were talking about this when we were watching it, but I think that Alyssa really does need somebody to just love her.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't really had that her whole life.
Yeah.
And Caleb is somebody who's just there.
He's complex also.
He's
deep. He sings.
But he's a good
person.
He's good. Yeah. We've seen he's good.
Yeah.
So I think that would be cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. But so off of that, so we see, again, we'll go off a Charmed original just to confirmed with everyone listening to us, wherever you're listening from, that yes, Cupid, we're alluded to think it's Cupid in the beginning, mm-hmm. all these beginning shots as the arrows are being pointed at people, shot at people, we are thinking it's Cupid. And it's mm-hmm. not really until Landon and his new batch of Super Squad that he yes. rallies together, since two of the Super Squad members are in another world.
Yeah.
And so he rallies together the troops, his troops, and they go to get Cupid because he loses him.
Uh-huh.
And at that moment, we see the Cupid eating the heart of a human. And so it's kind of like, oh, this Cupid has a dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little disturbing.
Yep.
And they're like, but we've solved it thanks to Kim. She gave us all the insight on Cupid
uh-huh.
with the arrow. He just has to be shot with his own arrow. So they thought, like, boom, bam, finito. We solved this one. But in
but
true
no.
Legacies fashion, that is not how it usually goes.
Yep.
So I want to talk about this because there's a moment in between there that cracked me up, was when Landon's been venting to Cupid kind of about, like, I don't know why Hope loves me, like just having this whole like poor me man mentality. And he was like telling her all this stuff, telling Cupid all this stuff. And then when Hope arrives and realizes that they had lost Cupid, she's like, we'll discuss this later.
I know.
In the most mom voice ever.
Yeah.
What were you thinking about their relationship in this moment?
I have a love and hate relationship with Hope because I love her. I do. She is a true hero and she's selfless. But I don't like how she always has to be the martyr. And now as a result of her always being the martyr, she thinks she has to do everything and save
everyone.
Yeah, and she doesn't let anybody easily help her, which I definitely think is extremely problematic. She's still so young, so that could change, hopefully. But yeah, I like that. So I didn't love that she was acting that way towards Landon, especially because they're a couple. They're supposed to be a team.
Yeah.
She's not supposed to completely take all that on. So,
No, I definitely agree with you there, because it just kind of seems like, but Landon puts himself in these situations where it's like he needs hope to come in and save the day. Mm-hmm. This was another prime example. Like, yes, he tried his hardest to take control of the situation, and it just, it didn't work for him. And especially the prime example of it not working for him was when we see poor Wade, who just got shot with an arrow, and he's all of a sudden throwing up fairy dust.
I know. Okay, yes. The fairy dust, you guys.
It was a nice touch.
That was amazing. Yeah. Okay. I wish I could spit out literally that. We have Ivan Soto saying, I wanted Hope to go all Michelson on Alyssa. No one mouths a Michelson and lives to tell the tale.
True.
That's true, though. True. I like that. And we have Charmed Original saying, Landon Pedro and Drusilla on the scooters was everything.
Yes. Like, that's what I'm saying about this episode. Like, it was so fun.
It was good, yeah.
Because it was like when they came around the corner on the scooters, the other moment how they made when Alyssa Chang, we'll get to the love triangle in just a second, but when Alyssa Chang just, like, made time stop for the vampires and Caleb and MG, like, couldn't really do anything, and you just see the reactions in slow motion. I was like, there's the comic relief of this episode. That's very funny. And just watching Alyssa Chang, like, try and attack Kim was kind of comical to me.
Which was also refreshing because there was no Lizzie. And Lizzie has been the comedic relief for a while now.
Yeah.
So it was, I love Lizzie and I really missed her this episode. Yeah. But at the same time, I was glad to see that the show was still really funny without her character.
Yep.
So it just shows, you know, like, good writing, and it's just a good show all around. Yeah. I love this show, man.
And so we finally figure out, like, in this moment that while Wade is screaming that he can't see, that this is obviously not Cupid. And that's when it's kind of an oh no moment of who
like,
is this?
Oh, shit. Yes. Yeah.
And so, and then that's at the point where Hope gets shot with the arrow, and Pothos is like, I am the better looking older brother, or whatever he says. It's like, okay, y'all look probably the same, but you just have smaller wings. And so it's in that moment that we realize that this is not Cupid. We are dealing with a monster. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Landon comes in and saves the day.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I will say that I'm proud of Landon because he continues to overcome different obstacles thrown in his way by using his brains. And he's so focused on trying to use his brawn and be stronger and be more powerful and have these powers like everyone else when his brain is just as strong of a tool as anything that his body can do.
You're so right, though. Yeah, he does use his brain because Hope doesn't.
Yeah.
She just goes for the fight.
She,
you
like,
know?
She, like, retains the information and then acts on it very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
He retains information, comes up with the most plausible plan, and then takes action.
Yeah, because Hope was just fighting him.
Yeah.
She decided that she was the only one who could defeat him, and she's fighting him, and then you have
Landon. I'm the tribrid. Fear me.
But she's not even a vampire yet.
Yeah, I know.
Like, when is that going to happen?
True.
Season 3, True. Maybe, hopefully.
True.
But yeah, so it was nice to see Landon actually step up and do something about it. I think that this was some major character growth for him.
Agreed.
Because if you look at him in episode 1 of season 1 to now, it's just like, whoop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know?
Yeah.
But it took Sebastian to, like, push that out of him.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because before that, he just wasn't.
Yeah.
And then Sebastian was like, what the hell are you doing, man?
It's like he was always just like, meh, 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 I'm Landon.
Yeah.
Poor
just
me.
Just whining
yes.
the whole
yes.
time.
So yes.
Stop whining and do something. And now he did. So now I like him better.
And
good.
Okay, so we're just going to have it. We're going to talk. We're going to do the conversation, the hard conversation for Shiksha and myself.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors. And today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
We're going to talk about Hope and Landon.
Handon.
And I will continue to say that I've been more open-minded about them because I've said that if they continue to tell us their love story and develop that for us, then I'm fine with it. And this was an episode that we saw growth in them as a couple. Like, early on, I kid y'all not, I wrote down, I was like, oh, they're going to be my bad duo for the merger special segment because they're not getting along. They don't see eye to eye. Landon doesn't understand why Hope's with him. Hopefully, Hope realizes that she shouldn't be with him. But then in the end, when they're floating and they're kissing and they're in the bathtub and all these scenes and these shots and they're cute and I want to vomit. I'm like, ah, I don't hate them.
I mean, okay, listen, I know all of you guys are Handin fans. I can see it in the comments. I see it every week. I get it. I know you love them, but we just don't. We don't. Mm-mm. I don't know how to explain this to you guys. I just don't see the chemistry there. Yeah. And I agree that today they actually started building up the relationship a little bit more. And now I'm buying into it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not like yes for me. I'm not shipping them at all, actually.
I will say, so.
Don't hate me.
So I told Shiksha, I teased her with this, but I'm going to let all of you know because she doesn't even know. I figured out my complex with not liking them.
Okay.
And this is where I think it stems from. So, as being a huge Vampire Diaries fan, I was team Elena and Damon through and through. Like,
Damon
was obsessed with them. Elena and Damon.
Yeah.
And so, just, like, that love story for me is, like, one of my favorite ever written in a show in existence.
Because they were amazing. See, that's an epic love story.
But just wait. Just wait. I think my problem with Landon and Hope is it gives me vibes of when Caroline and Stefan became a thing.
Yes!
And I say that because it was like you couldn't hate it because they were so cute and they had a great friendship and like their love story and their storyline was cute and it was fine. But at the same time, it was still like, oh, but Stefan and Elena were really cute too. And so this is just weird. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of how I feel about Hope and Landon. Because
you hit the nail on the head.
Like, that was, like, the full vibes I get is very Caroline and Stefan at the end of Vampire Diaries.
That's a perfect comparison. Yeah. Because you're right. With Stefan and Caroline, it was fine.
Yeah.
But I wasn't shipping them or anything. It was just like, okay.
Like, it was just like, okay, y'all fell in love. That's cool.
But, yeah, it was like, I didn't fully buy into that relationship. But with Damon and Elena, it's like, yes!
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with, you're right, Landon and Hope.
Yeah. So that's that's honestly my thought. I finally found, I dug deep and I found,
you found
where
the reason.
My complex is with them. And that's what it is because it gives me Caroline and Stefan vibes.
But this is still the beginning.
True.
Right?
Very
so
true.
So hopefully things will change. They're young. The show is young.
If
you
we
know
anything about Julie Plec and her writers, we definitely know that there are a lot of curveballs that can be thrown because those first couple seasons of Vampire Diaries didn't think that the love story between was going to happen the way it did either. So
exactly.
You never know. Still hoping out for Roth and Hope. Not gonna let it die.
So I have a couple people in the comments talking about this. First, Billie Jean Girl made a great comparison. She said, Landon getting his heart ripped out gave me deja vu when Stefan got his heart ripped out in TVD. So sad. I love that.
Yeah.
We have Grace and Ryan saying, I'm glad they're proving why Handin is a thing. I do agree that they're starting to prove it.
Yeah.
I'm just not...
Yeah, again, like, I'm okay with it as long as they continue to tell their love story.
Exactly.
That was my biggest issue in season one. It was just kind of like, oh, here, we're going to throw these two characters together and make them be a couple. And I just didn't really vibe with it very well.
Yeah. And then we also have Ludmila Tushova saying, with all these love scenes, I cannot imagine how they would justify Landon and Hope breaking up other than one of them dying. Well, Landon's died many times.
Fair.
So...
Also, he does die. That's
he
all he does.
He does die.
That is his superpower. That's all he does is die.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I do think that the writers are talented. And so...
Yeah, who knows?
They'll find a way to make it better. I don't know.
Yeah, so before we move on, Shiksha, don't you have a special announcement for everyone watching us right now?
Yes, I do. Guys, just want to quickly thank all of you for watching us here at AfterBuzz TV. You guys truly make us the ESPN of TV talk. While you're watching, make sure to hit that subscribe button and
subscribe.
The like button. Yes, and the like button. And make sure to keep commenting. I'm here. I'm shouting you guys out, reading your comments. And also, if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, make sure to hit the 5-star button to help us out and support us so that we can keep coming back and talking about our favorite shows. So thank you guys. Love you.
Yes, y'all. Shiksha does such a good job. She really goes back and comments on everyone that leaves comments, or at least she tries to.
She acknowledges
them all. She even brings them in and incorporates them week after week when people give us new predictions that we like and we want to talk about. So shout out to her for doing that. But then also just thank you all. We wouldn't be here without you. Mm-hmm. So speaking of love, that was a nice little love moment. Yes. We love our fans. We love AfterBuzz. So let's talk about the love triangle of Legacies. This love triangle, I'm calling it a love triangle because if you don't remember, a while back, I think I talked about this love hexagon that we had with like Roth at the very beginning when it was like Roth and Josie and Hope
still
and Landon.
No Roth.
And yeah, still no Roth. We don't know what's happening with him. But regardless, well, he's with his dad. We do know where he is.
Yeah, but where is he?
I mean, he's with
Wade
his dad.
Wade is replacing him at this point.
Fair.
And I love Wade.
Oh, fair. That's
I
a solid
him.
Point.
Yeah.
That's
but,
a solid point.
But they even said it in this episode because they said, I don't remember who said it, but somebody said, you know, you're hanging out with Wade.
No, Wade said, he was like, I know that you're only being my friend until Roth comes back.
Yes, I was like, I know it was in there somewhere.
So at least we know that they're acknowledging it, like Roth will come back. But regardless, our love triangle happened between, it really threw me a curveball, and we're going to like jog back a little bit, but this was when Hope had the arrow, the obsession arrow, stabs Alyssa after Alyssa is being incredibly difficult about not telling Hope where the Ascendant was, and Alyssa looks at Hope, all giddy, and reveals that she has a crush. I, not in a million years, was going to guess that MG was the crush. Like, I never saw it coming, and it was the greatest option. Like, whoever decided when they were writing this episode that was like, it's going to be MG, I was so happy for it, because I was like, oh, this is cute, this is fun, and, but it was also sad at the same time, because people, why can't MG have love?
Yeah.
I don't understand. We
he's
keep
really...
just, you know, kicking this guy when he's already down. He gets over Lizzie. He has Kim. Kim, like, poor MG. And I love Quincy Faust as an actor because he does such an incredible job in these moments, in these awkward situations. He just makes you love him. And that's how I feel when I'm watching it. I'm like, dude, I freaking love this guy, and I just want him to find someone that loves him as much as the love he's willing to give. Mm. And in this instance, he wanted to give all of his love to Kim.
Yeah.
So the way this kind of all sets up, we know what happens with Hope and Alyssa, but on the flip side, MG finally builds up the courage to go to Caleb and say, hey, man, like, man to man, I want
to
date.
Yeah,
I want vampire to vampire. I want to date your sister.
Yeah,
and we know how Caleb feels about this. He basically already told him back in episode one when they were coming back off of summer break, like, nah, bruh, it's not happening. Mm. I will help you out with Lizzie. You're not dating my sister. And instead, let me know in the comments if you agree with this, because we pointed this out right away when he tells, when Caleb tells MG she likes chocolate-covered strawberries, frosé, and pool parties.
It.
I was like, he's for sure staring him the wrong way.
Yeah. Oh,
there was nothing genuine about him being so willing to just tell MG these things. But then
Poor MG.
Yeah, but then it was weird because I get he was angry seeing the situation that MG had set up this whole elaborate date for Kim, and then he's there with Alyssa. I could see Caleb being upset, but I was like, bro, you kind of set this up. So I didn't really agree with Caleb's reaction in that moment, but
he was just being the protective brother, though.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. For, I guess, rightful reason we end up figuring out. But so they're having this date, and we realize that Hope is on the back end talking to MG because they're in a collaboration to try and plot against Alyssa to figure out where the Ascendant is.
Yeah.
So they're basically using Alyssa against herself to figure it out.
Yeah.
But even under this charmed spell, she is too smart for her own good and figures it out and ends up taking MG to the Ascendant because also, another reason I love him, he is just honest with her.
Yeah, I know. That was something that Hope would have never done.
Agreed.
You know, and I love that she was talking to his in his ear with magic. That was so cool. I love
it
that
was
so
cool.
Much.
That was, again, creative. Like, this,
so
this
creative.
Whole episode was just so creative.
Yeah. I think we say that in every episode,
true.
Too.
True, true, true.
Because it just is. But, yeah, you're right. It's just something that only MG would have really done. I can't think of any other character who would have gone that route. And I think that it tugged at her heartstrings a little bit because she gave in.
Yeah.
But then her evil side came in, and that's where you're right. Like, she needs somebody to balance her out, to actually love her.
Yeah.
But when she's acting this crazy and evil, who the hell's gonna love her, you know? Except for, like, Kai. But Kai is there only for, like, one episode, so that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, again, just props to how they wrote this because MG was like, basically telling her, like, you're super smart, you're stunning, but you're also a little scary. And I thought it was really funny that he threw that in there, because it was like, oh, yeah, that's Alyssa Chang for you. But anyways, so Alyssa ends up being like, all right, you know, honesty is the best policy. She doesn't say that. I just made that up. But it really is in real life as well. Mm-hmm. And so because MG is honest with her, she takes him to the Ascendant, in which she ultimately gets mad because MG still does not choose her, does not want to be with her. And so she breaks the Ascendant. So now the Ascendant is broken, which is a problem
sense.
That we have.
No, it makes sense. Yeah. it's a definite problem. But it makes sense, because that's where Kai's going to come in next week, right? Because if they had a way to help them get out, then they're going to have to need Kai next week somehow.
Absolutely.
And so the Ascendant had to break, honestly. But I like that I like the way they did it. I think Alyssa is such a complex character. I just want to know more about her. And I really hope she turns good somehow and not stays evil. Because at the end of the day, she's just a girl who's had a bad past and not great influences in her life, so
I think there's a lot of layers to Alyssa. And I think it's almost as if she has known that she's been evil at her core, but she's still trying to figure herself out. That's just the vibe I get. Like, I think she does have good and innocence and pureness in her, but she's just trying to figure out who she is and really navigating those waters. And I think that the writer's going to do a great job with, like, bringing us along the Alyssa Chang journey. And whether it's with Caleb, we'll find out. Maybe he's the one that finally makes her a little softer, which is ironic because he's a vampire.
So I would be down for that.
But so that's the triangle that's happening.
But MG's left out now again.
Because, that's what I'm saying. Like, he can't have love. He literally can't have love because we end up getting in a situation where basically Alyssa, who is obsessed with MG because of the arrow, she tries to take out Kim. And then in result of that, Kim basically is like, sorry, this isn't for me. I'm going to bow out. I got to bounce out of this school. Like, it's great for y'all and that you're supernatural and you can hang here. I cannot. Peace.
I have to ask, and I know that I asked this, was it last week or 2 weeks ago when they revealed her as the intern, but how is it that she was even at the school? Because she was completely human and it was so dangerous for her to be there. They were so, you know, determined to not let Landon stay there when he was human that now they're just letting Kim come in, and Caleb was okay with that. He's so protective and he's fine with that.
I think the biggest difference was Landon, and I might be wrong here, which I'll be let known, but I don't think Landon had any awareness to the supernatural world, whereas Kim knew about vampires. She knew the supernatural world existed. So in the same way that, like, Dorian is human, I think it was very aligned that because she knew about this world existing, that that's why they were more willing to let her be there, because there was no risk of her exposing them or anything, whereas Landon could have if he didn't understand.
But he, at the time, he had found out about everything. Yeah. His brother was a part of the school now because of Raph. So he knew now. He was in the know. And he was saying that he wanted to be in the school and not wanted to be one of them. He just wanted a place to belong. So I don't know. For me, it's like one of the very few plot holes in this show is how did that make sense?
Yeah.
I know it was just their way of bringing Kim into the show. Yeah. But now she's gone again. So
it just kind of seems irrelevant,
kind
the whole
of pointless,
thing. Other than to bring up the fact that MG still doesn't have love.
Yeah. He's,
like, other than just throwing darts at MG's heart every other episode, that's pretty much all
I
that's
want him
there
to
for.
Be with that Medusa girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I liked her.
Yeah.
Let's bring her back.
That was cute.
Yeah.
But so there's our love triangle. We had all the love with Hope and Landon. And then to wrap things back up, in the midst of all this love that's being thrown down, Dorian and Emma get married. And so because of Cupid's arrows, they decide to really take the leap of faith and go and get married. And so we are back to them. They're married, trying to figure out what they want to do. But on the flip side, whenever they were initially talking about the prophecy, one of the biggest things that they talked about, because I wrote this down, because this prophecy is so complex, guys, so I had to write it down. We literally went back and listened to it. So they were talking about father to be visited upon by his daughters here and not here. So that clearly is the Saltzmans being in the other world.
Yeah.
Like 100%, that's where that's coming into play. At the end of last week's episode, they also talked about the prophecy being fulfilled with the, I want to say, with the Ascendant in the two worlds. And then they say a new hero rises. So I don't know. I think the new hero rising had to have been weighed last
week. Yeah.
Just in the way that they're making like it be kind of being episode by episode, it feels like that might have been weighed. Potentially could end up being Landon because now he can fly, which is awesome. Well, we don't know technically how he can fly, but apparently when he holds Hope in his arms and they're making out, like,
they're
he can fly.
Or levitating.
Yeah, they can levitate.
Or something, yeah.
And so, and then they talk about, but failed by Golden Arrow, which now, this Golden Arrow, I was kind of trying to predict what was happening throughout the episode, and but this Golden Arrow ends up, they loop it back together, they give us this nice big bow, props to the writers, because they bring it all back together, and Wade's like, hey, I'm the security guy, and in the midst of all this love fest, I realized that someone broke, like, dropped our security, came in, stole something, and, in, like, the armory, and then we go back and see the necromancer in chat. It's like, oh, right, this all started because of them.
Yeah.
And they find, they have Pothos with them, and then they find this golden arrow, which we don't entirely know what this golden arrow does, but that's what Pothos wanted kind of the whole time.
Yes, exactly. So now we just need to know what the hell the necromancer's doing with all these things. Did he say the Sphinx was there?
Yes.
So he's there, locked away?
I think, I don't know if he's necessarily there, locked away. I mean, he did say put him there with the Sphinx. And we know that the Sphinx is the one who had given us this prophecy to begin with.
In the first place.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll be back. You'll see me again. He didn't say he was gone forever.
Yeah.
But
because he just kind of disappeared in
that
episode.
He just sand, right? Yeah, I don't know what the plan is. I'm just really hoping that Chad is the one who kind of comes back to the students and gives him away. Because you got to feel bad for Chad.
Yeah.
He was not a good guy, but he's not evil either.
Exactly.
So
he still has a conscience despite being murdered and then brought back to life. And then now, like,
being
somehow
controlled.
Yes, being controlled by the god of death, basically.
Yeah.
But with that, I think that pretty much covered everything. Like, this episode, there were so many fun details to it, but then they gave us the breadcrumbs we needed right at the end to launch us into next week, which is going to be a pretty huge episode. So with that, Miss Shikshak, you want to give us some news and gossip?
Yes, ma'am. All right. All right, guys, Legacies news and gossip. So Julie Plec, creator of Legacies, has been working with Warner Brothers TV studio for the last 11 years. According to Deadline, she recently signed a new four-year exclusive deal worth $60 million with Universal Television and will be leaving Warner Brothers behind.
Wow.
Yeah. Under the deal, Plec will develop projects across all platforms for the studio through her banner called My So-Called Company. The projects under the overall agreement will include series created and written by Plec. She'll also supervise other writers as they create shows through My So-Called Company.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Universal Television President Perlina Egbaku, I don't know how to pronounce it, 6 months ago said, 6 months ago we made a target wish list of talented creators we really wanted to work with. Julie Plec was at the very top of the list.
Makes sense.
Julie actually said, quote, I love making television that is both thrilling and emotionally powerful. True. And I look forward to the adventure ahead at my new home. I am also grateful for my current home, Warner Brothers, and look forward to continuing to nourish the shows we happily built together over the last decade. Yes.
Well, great. I'm glad she said continue to nourish the shows we happily built
exactly.
together, a.k.a. the one that we're talking about right now.
Exactly, yeah. So there's still a future for Legacies.
Great.
We already know that there's a season three, so we're not going anywhere. Yeah, but I'm excited to see what else she creates because she's amazing.
Yeah.
And in other news, you guys, Kai Parker next week!
Yep.
Yes! So the episode's name, we know, is called Kai Parker Screwed Us. That sounds about right. The actor who plays Kai Parker's name is Chris Woods, and Chris Wood. And the executive producer, Brett Matthews, told TV Insider, "We are thrilled Chris Wood is coming back. He loves the character as much as the fans do. The one thing we all know about Kai Parker is you can't trust him. But what if you had to? That's the central question of the episode."
Which we know they're going to have to now. Yep. So
yes, we do. Actually, CW released a couple of pictures from next week's episode earlier a while ago, but then they also obviously have the teaser now. But one of the pictures they released was of Kai, which is what you see on your screen right now. I love getting the sneak peek because it's Kai.
Yeah.
If you guys want to Google the pictures, you can see a bunch more photos of Josie, Lizzie, Alaric, Sebastian, but there's only the one picture of Kai, so they're like keeping us in the, you know,
a little bit
dark.
Of the dark, yeah.
Yep. Julie Plec actually told EW, "Kai's return is tied to consequences of Dark Josie dabbling in black magic. Meeting Kai will rattle both twins, but especially Josie. Why? Because she sees him as a mirror of what could be if she's not careful."
Yep. Which I feel like we've kind of known that. Like, yeah. They've been alluding to that for quite some time.
Yeah.
I definitely will say one of my favorite things, speaking of Brett Matthews, on Twitter, they like to play this fun game where they ask everyone, like, who said this? And I just want to say that the title of that, of next week's episode, screams Lizzie. Like, I can hear it in her voice saying, "Kai Parker screwed us."
Yes.
Like, I could just hear her saying it. But, all right, guys, next up, we're going to do our special segment, The Merge. Woo-hoo. So drop your comments in if you're watching with us live right now, and let us know who is your best duo and worst duo of this episode. I will kick things off,
I
will tell you
you're
my...
You're going to steal mine.
Probably not, because I'm going to tell you my worst.
Okay, fine.
My worst duo, to me, was Hope and MG. Hope and MG, because of their little plot with Alyssa to the Ascendant breaking, like, that their whole scheme just really backfired on them, and it was kind of unnecessary, so they're out in my book.
Okay. Fair. For me, it was definitely MG and Alyssa. Okay. I didn't like them together. They didn't mesh.
It was awkward.
It was weird.
It was awkward.
Super awkward. Yeah. Did not like it. Anyway,
okay.
Best?
Oh, the best. I guess I've got to just say it because there wasn't really other... Well, there was one other. But regardless, I'm just going to say it was Hope and Landon. Because by the end...
What?
Yeah, because by the end, I even was a sucker for the moment when they were levitating and Hope looked so happy and it was cute. And the fact that they had a growth moment... They just had to be the best duo. Whether I liked it or not, they were the best duo.
No.
Who do you think?
Definitely Wade and Landon.
Oh my.
Are you kidding me? I'm still
no,
on them.
False, because Wade did no encouragement to Landon flying.
He did. He was trying.
Ish.
He was trying. I'm sorry. I like them. I think that they're hilarious. We got a bunch of people in the chat. Mm-hmm. Ted B said, "Worst is MG and Caleb."
Fair.
And best is Hope and Landon. So many people are saying Handon for best. Okay, guys. I see you.
Hey, at least I can respect it. I can respect it.
Hey, I have a couple people agreeing with me on Landon and Wade as best. So a lot of different opinions in the chat.
Okay, y'all can go vomit with your glitter over there. But all right, okay, our last thing here, guys. Stick with us. We're going to be talking about predictions. So hit me with some.
And now, okay, I just have to shout this person out. Sir Zami said, "I'm going to need to watch next week's episode twice, once to drool over Kai, and then again to digest the content."
There we go.
Yes,
that makes sense.
Indeed. Okay, well, I think next week is pretty obvious, right? Because we have Kai who's going to show up, evil stuff's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Sebastian and Lizzie are going to go together.
Yep.
And they're going to be fighting with Alaric. Josie's freaking out about her black magic.
I think, here, this will be my pretty big prediction. My biggest prediction out of this is that Josie is, yes, going to have an epic meltdown. I think the flashbacks and everything she's been seeing in her dreams or whatever the trance she goes to when she is infected by the black magic, I think what she sees is what's going to happen to the other world that they're in. So I think everything that we've been, all the scenes we've been seeing in the foreshadowing, I think that will come to life, because I think it's going to be necessary for her to get them out of this world. And I think in doing so, she will somehow, I don't think it's just going to go away. I don't think next week, as much as I want to say like, oh, next week she's going to boom, bam, finito, dark magic gone. Mm-hmm. They've made too big of a deal out of this. So I think she's going to more or less learn how to control her dark magic to use it to her advantage.
Okay, I was
going to
ask you that. Yeah, so you don't think she's just going to be back to normal after this?
No.
I don't know. What do you think they're going to do with Kai? Put him back in the prison world after all this is said and done? Or is he going to die?
I want to say he's going to die.
But
the other thing is,
he could become good. No, there's not enough time for
that. He literally tricked them when they said he lied to us. But the other question is, remember all these kids that Emma and Alaric had been putting in this alternate prison world this entire time are also there. These so-called
bad kids. I
want to
see those kids. Yeah. Logan Knight is asking us, do you think Kai is listening to the same song over and over again when Damon and Bonnie were with him?
Potentially. Let's be real.
That would be such a great moment if they did that.
It would be. He's still doing crossword puzzles.
Yeah, I hope so.
Making pancakes.
Logan, I hope so. So we have, let's see what else we have in here. Now everybody's talking about the listening of the song.
Yeah.
Oh, Ted B is saying Landon is the hero and the necromancer needs the arrow to kill a phoenix.
Oh, there we go.
Interesting.
Yep. All right, guys. Cool, well, guys, keep giving your predictions for us. Like I said, Shiksha does a great job at looking back at those.
We'll
bring some back next week. And we hope that you join us. With that, Shiksha, go ahead and tell them where they can find you.
Yes. You can find me on Instagram at I Am Bali Girl. I'm posting in my story about all the shows that I'm in. I'm on a bunch of different after shows, so come check out what I'm on there.
She really is Queen AfterBuzz. And guys, thanks for watching. I'm your host, Haley Graves, and you can find me on Instagram at Haley Graves with two S's, and on Twitter, gosh, they're different. Twitter is Haley1Graves2. We'll see you next week, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.